I am Tom Holland, and yes, this is Fitness Disrupted 2.0, brand new feed for those of you who were following me, listening to my prior shows on Fitness Disrupted. I'm back. Three shows a week, as always. New and improved. And today, just a great new study that came out that you need to know about. And that's my job. You don't have to read the studies, follow the daily reports on exercise, nutrition, motivation. I'm going to do that for you. And then I'm going to break it down, distill it down for you so you can understand it. Try to make sense of it. Sometimes I'll go deeper into research. Sometimes give you the top line kind of breakdown that you need to know. But I'm just going to give you what you need to know so that, yes, you and I can live our best lives. And this is more great news. That's all I bring you is great news, because this is the greatest job in the world. And today we're going to talk about control. And I'm going to explain how many people look at this concept of control, especially when it relates to something like cancer, as a negative, as not being positive, but it is. And this research shows why. All right, let me just back up a little bit. For those of you who don't know, I spent many decades working within the fitness industry, all different aspects, everything, but many, many years as a personal trainer and group fitness instructor, working my way up, working crazy long days. And I ended that career working with CEOs, celebrities, literally traveling the world with them and training just about every demographic there is. Age, fitness level, goals, everything. But what's really interesting is out of all of those thousands of people, if you count the camps and online training I did and coaching hundreds and hundreds of people through a cancer charity that I did for over 10 years, the stories that stand out aren't necessarily the ones you'd expect. You know, the celebrity stuff was really interesting, and I have great stories about that, and you know, some really high-level CEOs, interesting people for sure. But there's one story in particular that stands out and relates exactly to this topic in this study. It's about cancer and control. And that's why I named this podcast that. I was like, do I make it sexier? No, that's it. Cancer and control. And so this client, many years ago, wasn't a celebrity, and this topic came up. This exact topic came up. And she said to me, I don't believe we have any control over it when it comes to cancer in particular. And that's what the topic was that we were discussing. But she also meant just death in general, sickness. She didn't believe that we had the control, that it was destiny, that whatever way you were going to die, that was set in stone, and that nothing she could do or we could do would change that. And that was really sad to me. And it goes against the research, including the research I'm going to read to you shortly and explain. And we're not going super deep into it. We don't have to. I stopped working with her pretty much for that reason, because it didn't make sense for me to work with someone who didn't believe we could make change. And this person wanted to lose weight, as so many people do. And that's a goal, and that related to what I'm going to talk about too, when it comes to cancer and preventable risk factors involved. But she also had the means. So that's what stood out to me too, because there is a correlation, a connection between poverty and access to healthcare and many things like that. So I was even more annoyed, if that's the right term, and it was, just because this person could have done anything. And let me just fast forward a little bit, give you the final little take on her. And I'm not, you know, whenever I give examples like this, I feel a little guilty, but this is real world. This is, I'm bringing you the science and the anecdotal and my experience with clients. And we take all of this and we figure out what works. But I'm also getting ready to do a show about, I don't want to give too much away, but about wealth and time and results. You know, people think if I just had more time, if I just had more money, I could achieve the results I wanted. If I just had a personal chef. I'm going to get into that very soon in a podcast. But it's not the case. And so this person had access. And when I ran into her years after stopping, and in a very, well, we parted ways amicably. And it's tough to give up money, by the way, when you're a personal trainer, although I wasn't at the start of my career, but any personal trainers out there know, you know, you take what you can get at the start because that's the only way you make money. But I want people to believe. I want you to believe because none of this is worthwhile. And if you are listening, you believe. That's why you listen to the show. Because I am bringing you the most recent studies, and I've spent my life studying how to study the studies and to look at them from the exercise, nutrition, and motivation through those lenses. But when I did run into her, she had lost weight and she was in pain. She's actually at a restaurant. She told me she had liposuction done her entire body. She also told me that the doctor who did the liposuction told her to avoid stairs, which we had been doing as part of our training. Those of you who have listened to my shows on hills and stairs and step-ups and things like that. Part of my training, part of many of my clients' training over the years. But this doctor had told her to avoid them like the plague because it would make her legs bigger. The bulk myth. Doctor. Anyway, that's what this show's about. And that client has stood out in my mind. And I get it, people. That so many people believe that we don't have control. And that myth, if we could call it that, and we can, is perpetuated constantly in the media. And when I really get annoyed is when it's perpetuated by people that you see letters after their names, whether it's MD, PhD, but people who have spent some time in academia. I'm going to get back to that. All right, let's just jump right into it. Here's the headline, one of the headlines related to this particular study. And it reads, almost half of cancer deaths globally are attributable to preventable risk factors. New study suggests almost half of cancer deaths globally are attributable to preventable risk factors. Control and cancer. Now, I was going to go through the stats on cancer, but we don't need to. I mean, the one stat that most people know and is thrown out is that 1 in 3 people will get cancer at some time in their lives. And what this research is showing is maybe we can lessen the likelihood, not prevent. But there are preventable risk factors. The study, so recent, August 2022. This month just came out, last week actually. The title, The Global Burden of Cancer Attributable to Risk Factors 2010 through 2019, a systematic analysis for the Global Burden of Disease Study. going to give you the quick cliff notes. 4 bullet points. If you're like, okay, what am I going to take away from this? And then I'm going to go into the summary of the study itself. Because it's really important. It's really important. And so the cliff notes, for those who want, you know, the correct headline. So often you're given the incorrect headline, and then you don't even bother to read. And those headlines are often to take away the belief that you have control. Okay, point number one. The research finds that, cutting right to it, people, 44.4% of all cancer deaths and 42% of healthy years lost could be attributable to preventable risk factors in 2019. This is when, at the end of many of these podcasts, what do I say about exercise? Exercise adds years to your life and life to your years. So that's literally what this first bullet point is saying. 44% of all cancer deaths and 40% of healthy years lost. Healthy years lost, life to your years. In other words, we're going to live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. Medicine is really good at keeping people alive. But what are those years going to be? I'm going to get back to that too. Bullet point number two, it looked at cancer deaths and disability from 2010 to 2019 across 204 countries, examining 23 cancer types and 34 risk factors. The data also showed that risk-attributable cancer deaths are on the rise. This is what's, I told you I was going to bring you good news. Well, there's always a little bad news in there because there is control. The data also showed that, let me read it again, risk-attributable cancer deaths are on the rise. Risk-attributable, stuff we have control over, increasing worldwide by 20.4% from 2010 to 2019. And so you're going, what are they? There's a handful. And I was, again, going to go deeper into this research, but we don't need to. Not today. Final bullet point, the top three risk factors, smoking, alcohol use, and high BMI, high body mass index, excess weight. Smoking doesn't surprise us, although it surprises me that so many people still do that, but I get it. It's an addiction, but that's obviously controllable. All right. That is a preventable risk factor. Number two, alcohol. That's contradictory if you've listened to some of my other shows where I talk about, you know, there's data, blue zones, books, and that say that people who don't drink live less long, less longevity than those who do. It's a discussion for another day. I'm going to say alcohol abuse, alcohol in excess, because moderation, the research shows, works, is associated with longevity. So that's, I'm always going to point out the contradictions. There's so many. And if you don't drink and you have an issue with drinking, you shouldn't drink. That's common sense. But I don't want to get off on the alcohol tangent. The one that's most important to what we're talking about here now is high BMI. And that's related to what? What we eat and how much we move. And that is controllable. And one final bullet point before I get to the research itself. This shows, and I know it's a hard topic, and it's, but it's life or death, people. You should be happy at any weight. You should love yourself at any weight. But carrying around excess weight has myriad negative health implications, including now, and I'm not going to list them all, increased risk of cancer. And there's going to be a couple quotes that I pulled from doctors at the end that talk about that. We need to be our healthiest weight. And we don't want to focus on the weight. We want to focus on eating healthy foods, finding foods that are enjoyable and sustain us, and focusing on what we can do rather than what we can't, and moving more. Not exercise you don't like, not going to the gym if you don't want to. But high BMI is top three, and it's moved up, by the way. All right, give you the quick breakdown of the research. Here's the background. I'm just going to read verbatim from the paper itself. Understanding the magnitude of cancer burden attributable to potentially modifiable risk factors is crucial for development of effective prevention and mitigation strategies. We analyzed results from the Global Burden of Diseases, Injuries, and Risk Factors Study 2019 to inform cancer control planning efforts globally. All right, they looked at some good data. The methods, the GBD 2019 Comparative Risk Assessment Framework, was used to estimate cancer burden attributable to behavioral, environmental, and occupational and metabolic risk factors. As I said before, a total of 82 risk outcome pairs were included on the basis of the World Cancer Research Fund criteria, estimated cancer deaths and disability adjusted life years. By the way, that's going to come up again. The acronym is DALY, D-A-L-Y, Disability Adjusted Life Years. Years to your life and life to your years. That's life to your years. And change in these measures between 2010 and 2019 are presented. Here are the findings. Globally, in 2019, the risk factors included in this analysis accounted for almost 4.5 million deaths and 105 million DALYs, all right? Disability adjusted life years, over 100 million years of disability adjusted life years for both sexes combined, representing almost 44.5% of all cancer deaths and 42% of all disability adjusted life years. There were 2.88 million risk attributable cancer deaths in males of all male cancer deaths and 1.58 million risk attributable cancer deaths in females of all female cancer deaths. The leading risk factors at the most detailed level globally for risk attributable cancer deaths and DALYs in 2019 for both sexes combined were what I just told you: smoking, followed by alcohol use, and high BMI. Three things we totally control. And I know some of you are going, not my weight. Yes. There are factors involved. There are genetic components. Yes. I don't want to get too deep into that into this show. But we talk about hunger and ghrelin and leptin and eating healthy and the way our bodies have changed since the 70s. It's not the DNA. It's not our genes. It's the lifestyle. It's the food. And it's the bad information. Oh, risk attributable cancer burden varied by world region and socio-demographic index. That's what I was talking about earlier as well, with smoking, unsafe sex, and alcohol use being the three leading risk factors for risk attributable cancer DALYs in low SDI, so low income locations in 2019, whereas DALYs in high SDI locations mirrored the top three global risk factor rankings. Okay, this is in red. When I have something in red in my notes, it's because it's really important. From 2010 to 2019, global risk attributable cancer deaths increased, said this before, but I got to say it again, by 20.4% and DALYs by 16.8%, with the greatest percentage increase in metabolic risks. Okay, food. Exercise, controllable lifestyle behaviors. Interpretation, here we go. The leading risk factors contributing to global cancer burden in 2019 were behavioral, Whereas metabolic risk factors saw the largest increases between 2010 and 2019, reducing exposure to these modifiable risk factors would decrease cancer mortality and daily rates worldwide, and policies should be tailored appropriately to local cancer risk factor burden. You don't hear this enough. It's the drugs after the fact. It's the prehab versus rehab concept I talk about and other fitness people do who know what they're talking about. We wait until it's too late because we don't believe we have control and we don't do the right things and we're told that we can't. All right, here's some quotes. Some darn good quotes. All right. This is from Dr. Chris Murray, director of the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation at the University of Washington. He and his colleagues wrote in this study, and his quote is, or their quote is, "To our knowledge, this study represents the largest effort to date to determine the global burden of cancer attributable to risk factors, and it contributes to a growing body of evidence aimed at estimating the risk attributable burden for specific cancers nationally, internationally, and globally." Dr. William Dahut, chief scientific officer for the American Cancer Society, commented on the findings, okay? And here's what he said. "The new study clearly delineates the importance of primary cancer prevention and the increasing cancer numbers related to obesity clearly demands our attention." Final quote. "Modifying behavior could lead to millions more lives saved, greatly overshadowing the impact of any drug ever approved." I'm going to read you that line one more time. "Modifying behavior could lead to millions more lives saved, greatly overshadowing the impact of any drug ever approved." Let's finish up with this. If you listen to my podcast, you're going to hear me talk about control over and over and over again. Can we control everything? Absolutely not. But there's so much that we can control. How much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our state of mind. There's so much bad information. And as I said at the start of the podcast, when it comes from, I'm seeing more and more from PhD level people. And these are the people I have on the show. Like, you know, the best of the best, not these people, but at that level of expertise and education, it just shows you, listen, they're bad doctors, they're bad PhD, but I get particularly offended because they have a larger audience. They sound smarter. And they're making the simple complex to sound smart, to sell products and books, and to make you feel better by saying it's not your fault and you don't have control. Is that making you better long term? Are they really making you feel better? Maybe in the moment. It's not your fault equals you don't have control. And it's the opposite effect. When people don't believe they have control, what do? You give up. Extreme example of this, anyone read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl? About the Nazi concentration camps. I mean, this is the extremes. You go, why bother? And that's horrible. We need to believe we have control, even if you don't. Even if you don't. Now, we could argue that. And I'm reading an amazing new book called Do Hard Things, and I'm going to interview the author. The fake it to make it thing doesn't really work, or does it? We'll debate that. But when you have control, what does it do? When you believe you have control, what does it do, rather? It allows you to change your behavior, which is eating and exercise, and it allows you to change your mindset so you're less anxious, you're less depressed. We need to believe. We need to play the long game. And here's the problem. Here's the billion-dollar problem. There's no metrics on your Apple Watch that says how much you have lowered your risk of cancer from what you eat and from how much you move and from what your mindset is. There's no metric that shows you, let's take it past cancer, that shows you how much you've lessened your likelihood of Parkinson's or stroke or heart disease. We're not tracking that stuff. We're not valuing that stuff because we're not playing the long game and because we can't. We can't measure it the way we measure calories and weight. We need to move more and we need to eat better because it's good for us. Because it's good for us. We have to control what we can. We have to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And we have to feel good about that. Stop saying I only did 10 push-ups or I just walked 20 minutes at lunch. No, you did both of those things. And those will all help lessen your likelihood of cancer and Parkinson's and stroke and heart disease. Can we control everything? No. But I'm darn well going to do the stuff I can. Because guess what? Even if for some reason, because life is what it is, even for some reason it doesn't add years to your life, which study shape most likely will, it darn well will add life to your years. When you eat good food and fuel your body well, you feel better than when you don't. When you move more than sitting around and having that horrible snowball effect of less movement, you feel better. And there's no downside. There is no downside to controlling these things and finding the foods that are healthy that you like and the movement and valuing it every single time. I ate a tomato today. I hated tomatoes when I was a kid. Now, I'm not sure if I like it more because I know it's healthy for me and really healthy, tomatoes and vegetables and things like that. But I get like a double whammy of feeling good. And I'm not sure again which contributes more, the physical or the mental. I don't care. It took a while to get here. This is the journey I talk about. You have to give yourself time. You have to go on that journey. You have to listen to the show. You have to listen to the right information. You have to use common sense. You have to stop depriving yourself, stop beating yourself up, and get excited that you have control. I want to see more success stories. I have a great one coming on. Holy cow. Distant relative who made an incredible transformation in a year. All right. It's a tough topic. Cancer? Control? But guess what? We have to have these tough conversations. That's what we hear all the time, right? We need to have a conversation. And then when we have a conversation about something tough, we can't have it. It's shut down. And this is about life or death. You know, that term literally is abused. It's just everyone throws it out. It seems like every fifth word, but it's literally life or death we're talking about here. Controlling what we can. All right? Oh God, I love my job. I get worked up, but I get excited. We only have one life to live, people. Let's make it the best we can by believing in our ability to control so many things. All right. Tom H. Fit is Instagram. Tom H. Fit is Twitter. If you want to ask me a question, reach out. Love to hear from you. We'll put those questions. I've been throwing them into just whole podcasts, but also listener mailbag shows. You can go to teamholland.com. That's the website. Email me through the site. Love to hear from you. All questions, comments. By the way, it's a brand new feed. So some people have been doing it. Subscribe, follow, rate, comment, whatever you can do to support the show. Greatly appreciated. I'm taking over this show. So the ads are limited and they're the only ones that I totally believe in because I'm only going to bring you the best information because it's too important. All right. And as I said at the beginning, and I will always say at the end, we control three things: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes, and that is awesome. I am Tom Holland, exercise physiologist, certified sports nutritionist. This is Fitness Disrupted 2.0. Believe in yourself.